From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll talk some weather probably leading into Ole Miss and Mississippi State baseball this weekend from Swayze Field. Huge game for really both teams, but especially the Rebels as they are trying to lock up a host site in Oxford at Swayze this June for the regional round of the NCAA tournament. We'll look at maybe the latest projections for that. I'm at least seeing one in front of me. And then we'll talk some NFL today, maybe some other stuff as well on this show that's brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon and Blue Sky there on Highway 6 West. You know by now, and you get lunch specials for $4.99. You get two sides bread, 32-ounce drink along with those. You can pick up ribs tonight on the way home from work. Call ahead. They'll wrap them up, have them ready to go, and you save money at the pump with the Speed Pass Plus app, the Mobile Rewards Program, and more from the Blue Sky. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. Call that number, ask for Corey Clark, and then tell Corey what Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. So if you think you're in the market for a vehicle, even if you don't know that you want a Ford, if you think you're going to be in the market soon for a vehicle and you just kind of want to get started, you owe it to yourself to do this. Get a quote. At the very least, it's going to be a baseline moving forward for you. And it's just probably going to do for you what it did for me on three occasions now. And that's get you really thinking about that Ford product. And you end up getting that Ford product. You get a great deal. It's so easy. You don't do all that day-long hassle and haggle and stuff where you're seeing who can win a negotiation that is ridiculous. It's right to the bottom line. You get your product, you get great service after the sale. Corey wants to be your truck guy, he wants to be your car guy, and he'll prove it to you. 662-257-1900. At the end of that deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast, and you'll save $500 off your already great bottom line. All right, Chase, I'm going to start here before we get into projections and stuff.
Okay.
The weather is an issue. This weekend, it very clearly is. It's a talking point. I'm sure there are some people at Ole Miss that would prefer that we not talk about the weather, but the weather is what it is. And I have questions for you. Looks like, okay, here's the latest. If they were playing tomorrow, I wouldn't give them much of a chance to play. It's 100% chance of rain tomorrow, 80% tomorrow night. Friday, 50% during the day. I think they're going to get a game in Friday night.
Okay.
I don't like their chances Saturday at all. 100% chance during the day, 100% chance at night.
That's not a positive.
That's not good. And then Sunday during the day, it's 80% chance of thunderstorms, some scattered in the afternoons. I know there's a – look, so I think they get one in. And maybe they get two in. But it's not conducive for a doubleheader unless they're all willing to waive the travel stuff and unless the league says, yeah, play Sunday night till you don't play as late as you need to on Sunday night. And maybe that happens. But for the sake of this conversation, and it's a Wednesday during May when, frankly, there's just not a hell of a lot to talk about, if they only get one game in or they only get two games in, does Ole Miss get hurt by weather by not having enough games to play?
Well, okay. I mean,
and I'm asking this question for two reasons. One, because there's not a hell of a lot to talk about, and two, because I know there's
it could come to fruition and matter. I get it.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's do it this way. Let's start with this point. Is Ole Miss's goal right now is to finish top four in the SEC for a multitude of reasons. That gives you at least two games in Hoover. And Hoover, I think, at least compared to a lot of seasons, matters a little bit this year because of the RPI opportunities. Because Ole Miss really, really needs an RPI in that 14 range, if at all possible. 16 would make me nervous. We'll get to that in a minute on why later on in the show. So I think that getting a top four seed is very important. I think also just being on that top four line in conference standings, because unlike basketball, where I really don't think that matters a little bit, in baseball, I kind of think it does. I think you do get some benefits from your conference standing when the selections committee starts looking at things. So Arkansas is going to be one. We know that for sure, probably. I mean, Ole Miss is two back of them. If they catch the Hogs, then this conversation means absolutely nothing. If they catch Vanderbilt, this conversation sure as heck, that means absolutely nothing. So those two are pretty locked in as top four seeds. That leaves Ole Miss and Mississippi State at 15-9 right now. And then Georgia, because they have scuffled just a little bit, they're at 16-8. So Ole Miss one game behind Georgia.
Okay.
And where this becomes interesting and why I think that for Ole Miss it's not as big of a deal as it could be is because at least the team you're probably competing against for one of those top four seeds is the other team losing those games too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're not getting off on percentage points against Mississippi State. They're playing as many games as you're playing. So I think that's important. And then, now look, I mean, this is that duh sentence, but I'm just letting everybody know. The SEC, when they look at standings, it's percentage points. It's not wins. It's not losses. It's what your winning percentage is. So if you play one fewer game and you win that, you know, but you tie and wins, then you're ahead. Duh. But just kind of repeating that. You know, it's kind of that thing where I think it's, what is it? It's, 15-13 is better than 16-14 or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you get into some of those little weird things. I think as long as they play two, they're probably okay. I would be a little concerned with one, especially if you lost it, just because it just looks funny. And I know that sounds dumb and that's not scientific at all and it might not matter, but I just wouldn't want to come out of a weekend, no matter how many games you played, not winning a game. I think for Ole Miss, the key to this weekend is no matter if they play one, two, or three, you have to win at least one. And frankly, if they play all three, I think it's at least you could go to Knoxville not worrying very much if you found a way to win two. Let's put it that way. Just don't get swept up there. You're probably okay, honestly, even at 18 at that point. So, yeah, it does matter, but I think it matters more for conference standing than overall resume because if I'm Ole Miss, I'm a little concerned if I finish as the 5 seed and I finished 18-12 or, 17-12 or whatever that would be. I think that would make me a little nervous. And, you know, look, from a waiver standpoint, everything is in front of these two teams to get some help from the SEC to play these games. Now, does that mean anything? Lord, no. Who knows? The league is so weird with waivers. But there's nothing academic going on. I mean, past this point, Ole Miss does not even have to take a day off during the week for school because there is no school. They can practice 7 days a week if they want. So, thank goodness the rain is coming this weekend, not earlier in the season when they would be a much more hard line on waivers. If you told me to guess, I would think that they're creative, they take advantage of Swayze draining really well, and they do find a way to play three games, but two of them are probably 2 7-inning games, and Lord knows Ole Miss needs to reverse some trends in there because since, I think, 2011 or whatever it is, they're 4-10 overall and 0-8 in 7-inning doubleheaders, so they need to fix
it's
that a
good.
Little bit. It's not it's a great not, stat. Yeah, it's not a
not
great stat.
Stat. Not a good stat.
Including losing two to Kentucky earlier this year and losing two to Vanderbilt last year in those instances. So,
I don't like their chances to get a game in on Saturday. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I mean,
no, I don't see a game Saturday. I just don't.
Before everybody goes, I'm being negative. I'm
we're reading a forecast.
My source is the National Weather Center. This is not my forecast.
Well, you know, Mike always tells me they have better weather forecasting and technology than I do. So I just take his word for it sometimes, even though I don't really believe him.
And they very well might. When I'm looking at it, when they say 100%,
100%. College sports have that. I don't know who he is. It's like Oz. It's like, hey, we got our weather guy. Hey, I got the weather guy. You don't have access to that stuff. Okay, fine, whatever. I'm just telling you, my forecast and my app shows a thunderstorm bearing down on you in 15 minutes. That's all I got. So do with it what you will. But anyway.
It's been a wet spring. It has rained a lot here.
I told you, every series but Alabama has been affected by the rain at home.
Like, we're going to get my little league team, and nobody cares, we're going to get rained out for the third time tomorrow night. We had 3 makeup games already.
Will you make them up?
Yeah, they just added a week to our schedule. I don't know what we'll do with more rainouts.
The interesting thing would be if you just played one game and Ole Miss won it. If you offered that to Mike right now, he'd probably take it. 1-0 and 2 rainouts?
Yeah, I would think he'd take that.
16-9 heading to Tennessee. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud a little bit. No big deal. Be a packed press box this weekend, I bet.
I bet.
Yeah. okay.
So. I mean, I'm looking forward to. I don't follow them. I might follow them for a couple hours just to watch the hilariousness of it. The guys that are such fans that they have to be busy, and so they tweet pitch by pitch.
The state beat tweets a whole lot more than we tweet. They tweet a lot. They tweet every at bat for sure.
Yeah.
Almost
every pitch.
It can be like 14-3, and it's like Mangum flies out to center field. Well, thanks. Appreciate that. I don't know. Standings going into the weekend again. Vanderbilt 18-6, Georgia 16-8, Missouri 12-11-1. They are in the tournament as of right now, even though they are facing a ban at some point, but the appeal is still ongoing, so they can play this season. Tennessee at 10-14 is going to become a test case for the NCAA come tournament time, because that RPI is sitting at 10 right now. Florida 9-15. Those puppies are missing the postseason unless something goes completely backwards for the Gators the rest of the way. Florida going to miss the tournament.
Isn't it crazy? What do you think happens with Tennessee?
I think they've got to get to 14. I think if they go 3-6 the rest of the way, I don't care what that RPI is. I don't think they're getting in. I just don't.
I'm taking your word for it. I'm not. This is not an argumentative statement at all. None. Zero. There's no contention here. If anybody thinks we're fighting, we're not. It's hard for me to imagine a team with a 10 RPI not getting in.
Hey, some people thought we were fighting the other day with Drew Bianco, I think.
Yeah. Oh, they thought we were mad at one another. Like, no, not even a little. I mean, but how does a team with a 10 RPI not get in?
Well, you've got to win games.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, we put so much, and I say we, the committee appears to put so much emphasis on RPI. It's the great cop-out. It's the great justifier. I'm not really criticizing them, because if I were in the room, I'd probably be like, hey, well, you know, we can base some of these decisions just off RPI so no one can criticize us. Then there's Tennessee with apparently they played a very difficult schedule. They play in the best league in the country, and their RPI is what it is. And I get it. You got to win some games. You can't go 10-20 in the league and get in. But, you know, if they're 13-17 with an RPI of 11, gosh.
North Carolina in 2016, they went, let's see. They had a 17 RPI at the end of the regular season. It ended up 19 after the tournament. Don't give a crap about that. 17 at the end of the regular season. They had the number 8 strength of schedule in the country. They went 34-21, 13-17 in the ACC, and they did not receive an at-large bid.
Yeah, like I said,
they had 14 wins against the top 50 in the country.
Like I'm saying, you know this better than I do. It's just
they only had 2 losses to teams outside the top 100. Didn't get in.
It's the amazing thing about SEC baseball, really, is that there are they're just really, now that Missouri's decent, there's just no free spot.
No, but Alabama's not good, but they play okay at home at times.
Well, they what, Alabama won one here?
Yeah, one.
It's hard to sweep them.
Yeah. And then, you know, then oddly, Carolina's terrible this year.
Yeah, but you can't count on them being terrible. No. I mean, there's just no free spot in the league.
No, it's not like the ACC where you get to go play the Pitts and the Maryland's, or I know Maryland's in the Big Ten now, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that kind of stuff.
You get to pile some wins up. You don't get to do that in this league. You go to Missouri and it's hard. You go to A&M and it's hard. You go to Starkville, it's hard. You go to Oxford, it's hard. There's just no place. You go to Auburn, they're competitive. Ole Miss lost 2 out of 3 there. Auburn's good. I mean, they're a tournament team. There's no...
Well, look, it's why I refused. Today, I'm just not having the mic debate. I don't have the energy for it. But it's why it is fascinating and amazing that Ole Miss in 19 seasons has never been worse than 13-17, and they've only been 13-17 once.
Yeah, but...
That is fascinating.
But the postseason.
No, I get it. And the postseason matters. I'm not having that argument. I'm just saying that is crazy.
I was being a smart
ass. I know.
It is the part of that.
Florida would kill for 13-17 right now the way they're trending.
Shit, half the league would kill for what would kill for the consistent. I get both sides of the mic thing. I do, and I'm exhausted of that argument, and we're not even there yet. But you do have to acknowledge whether you want to get into scholarship crap or not. I don't care. I'm not doing it today. I'm in too good of a mood. You do have to acknowledge the amazing consistency over two decades.
Yeah.
And people say, well, you know, South Carolina's down. Florida's down. Georgia is up and down all the time.
Oh, Georgia's a freaking roller coaster.
Mississippi State's been a roller coaster.
Yeah.
They've had bad seasons.
State maximizes their opportunities.
They do. And I don't know how much of that is mentality or coincidence or luck, and I don't know. Just so everybody knows, when we get to the mic debate, I'm open-minded on it. You could convince me of damn near anything. I don't know. You could convince me it's coincidence. You could convince me it's mentality. You could convince me it is all his fault. You could convince me that it is all circumstance. I don't know. Honest truth. And Chase can vouch for that because we've had this conversation 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But you do have to give the man credit for basically two decades of total consistency. They're never bad. They never suck. Every other program in the league, with the possible except well with the LSU, the exception of LSU, which is a top five program in the country, they all pick times to suck. The guy at Arkansas has been incredibly consistent. He's done a hell of a job, just phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, they just have a borderline professional program. You said the other day it's like going to a double A stadium, and it is. It's like going to a packed double A stadium. It's just kind of low key, nice facility, fun place to watch a game, but there's not a ton of atmosphere. They just roll over people. They win games and they get good as the season goes on, and you know, they make noise in the postseason typically. They're really good. The league's just really good.
I'm gonna ask a crazy question here. It's not right now, but I'm just curious your opinion. You know some people down there. LSU in 2017, they went 51-20, 21-9 in the SEC, and they finished second in the country to Florida, losing in the national title series. Last year, they go 15-15 in the league, end up a 2 seed in Corvallis, and get beat 14-1 and 12-0 by the Beavers in that regional. This year, they're whatever they are right now, 14-10. They're not going to host unless they just get hot, which they can, but they, you know what I mean. Lose to La Tech 12-1 last night. LSU absolutely is focused on postseason results. Palmieri on some bit of a hot seat after two seasons, if this thing doesn't go well this regional?
Yeah. Should he be? No. Is he? Yeah.
I get this is a huge, but again, they've got the Skip Berkman era that's still somewhat fresh for them. This is not fair. They haven't won a title in 10 years, and they've had some really strange years since then.
Well, there's a new AD now. Everything's up for grabs there. He was brought in to make change. Period. We have this conversation about perception reality. Expectation reality is a weird correlation, but it's there at a place like LSU. The expectation is in football and in baseball, but it's both football and baseball. And no, there's nothing to support it really in football. But the expectation is that they should be a playoff contender every single year. And the expectation in baseball is very simple. They should go to Omaha every year. It's a hell of a bar to set, but it's the bar that's been set.
They don't really care what basketball does, but you better win at football and baseball.
Yeah, basketball's a party if you win, and if you lose, they get just pretty disgruntled, and they'll get a little nasty, and they'll make change. But the expectation is just entertain them, get them to baseball season.
Yeah.
Which is weird because they've had success in basketball. I mean, Dale Brown took them to the Final Four. John Brady took them to the Final Four. They've been to the Final Four. I mean, there are basketball players in Louisiana.
I'm looking at Tennessee's resume a little more right now. They only lost two games in non-conference. They're 33-16 overall. And they swept Indiana and in Knoxville. Indiana's current RPI is 31. Gives them a really, really good non-con win there from a sweep standpoint. Losses are not bad that I can find. They lost to 166 East Tennessee State on a Tuesday. One of those isn't going to kill you. And then they lost to somebody else that I'm not finding right now. Point being, I guess they could sneak in as a 3 just because of all that stuff, but I don't think they have any shot as a 2 for sure. And they might be the team that does have to get into Hoover and win 3. I mean, that's their problem, too. We talk about losing on Tuesday. You sure as heck don't want to be Tennessee and go and, you know, be the 12 seed and let Ole Miss or State pop you on that Tuesday and go home. You would be in trouble then.
Understand when I say this, that I have no emotional investment whatsoever into Tennessee baseball.
Yeah, so
if they don't make it, I'm going to get through it. It is wrong that they get punished for being in a great league.
Yes, there are lots of positives to being in the SEC. You get tons of benefit of the doubt. You also don't get the average benefit of the doubt. It goes the other way on you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they should make the tournament as a 3.
In 2011, Ole Miss and LSU both missed the tournament at 13-17 with RPIs in the top 30.
Yeah, and they both deserve to be in the tournament. They maybe deserve to get sent to Corvallis or somewhere as a 3 seed and make it really damn hard on you, but they deserve to make the tournament because they're one of the best teams.
Predicted RPI team sheet for Tennessee. Warren Nolan has them going. And see, now if they do this, I think they just have to get in. I don't think there's a way they could not get in at this point. He has them going 40-16. Well, if that's the case, they're in the freaking tournament.
I would think so.
Oh, crap. Never mind. This isn't going to happen. I'm not even focused on this anymore. This has them going 16-14. They're not sweeping their last two freaking series.
Oh, no.
They're not sweeping Florida and Tennessee and Ole Miss. Never mind.
No, they're gonna go 3-6 the rest of the way.
3-3,
I mean. Yeah, they're gonna 3.
They're gonna beat Florida 2 out of 3 and lose 2 out of 3 to Ole Miss.
That's what I think too.
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. And at 13-17, oof.
They would be the team, like you said, that would need to do something in Hoover.
They really would. They couldn't lose on Tuesday. You just couldn't. Now you win 2 games, you're probably okay, because those count. But
yeah.
Anyway. All right. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Central County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We talked a lot about baseball, Ole Miss, Mississippi State baseball. It's the scheduled times, and Chase helped me here, 6:30 Friday.
It's a night game on Saturday as well.
Night game on Saturday, then a noon scheduled start on Sunday. General admission tickets are available at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. If you're coming in for the weekend, it's graduation, as many of you are aware. There is also a baseball series, if you're listening to this podcast, you now really know that for sure. There's a perfect gift for your graduate. Send them into the world with a great pair of jeans that will look sharp and last a long time. Free alterations. The Blue Delta Jeans store will be open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And feel free to contact them for a private fitting. Also, Blue Delta Jeans will be set up in the graduate lobby, the graduate hotel lobby, on Friday afternoon, 4 to 8. You're welcome to come and see them. get a fitting, share a drink, say hello to Nick and Blake and everybody there. Here's another deal. If you're staying at the graduate, if you're there for the baseball series or you're there for a graduation, a great gift would be a pair of Blue Delta jeans. And if you show them your graduate room key, you'll get $100 off your gift. So, again, that's in the graduate lobby Friday afternoon / evening from 4 to 8. Blue Delta jeans, show them your graduate room key. You get $100 off your pair of jeans. So that's a really cool deal. Be a great graduation present for the graduate in your life. Warm weather is here. With it comes the inevitable debate of sock or no sock with your loafers. So save your feet and your shoes from making their own impression and step into spring with some no-shows from Dead Soxy today. You really need to experience the difference a quality sock makes. Go to deadsoxy.com. Enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout to receive 30% off all orders, including sale items. These no-shows are the same quality you already love and enjoy with their traditional dress sock, but they come with the no-slip guarantees. So go to deadsoxy.com. Check out their no-show collection. Remember to enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout for 30% off all orders. Podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, represents clients in more than 20 states, has advisors in three states. What they do is they provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. They treat investing like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial plans put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box just for you. To learn more, go to pintrust.com. That's pinntrust.com. I'll have my mailbag out at some time today. It was basically done, and then our friend Young Benjamin Craddock issued a list of about 35 questions that I'm still sorting my way through. So it is brought to you by the Westin Jackson. You can stop by the Westin Jackson and restore some serenity to your soul by visiting Soul Spa. It's the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. And then you can head down to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro right there in the Westin Jackson. Sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships. So gather at Estelle tonight.
Podcast is brought to you by Mastercuts Lawn and Landscape. You know about basic maintenance, but they offer much more than that throughout northern Mississippi, including custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces, paver patios, forestry mulching, and much more. The path to your dream backyard easier than you think. You can visit them online at gomastercuts.com for a free quote, or give them a call at 662-607-7773. Again, that's gomastercuts.com. Baseball America, the only people that have put out their projections for the week so far. Still waiting on Perfect Game, still waiting on D1 Baseball as well. Ole Miss was not mentioned in the postseason primer thing from D1 Baseball this morning, which means nothing. It just wasn't one of the teams they were talking about. On Baseball America, they get the very last host spot as of right now. They have Ole Miss, the number 16 national seed in Oxford. They have NC State, Connecticut, and Bryant coming to town for that one. But the 16 is much more important than whoever they are guessing might get sent to Mississippi for a regional. It is 5 host sites for the SEC, and really, that's really the only options right now. LSU doesn't have a host resume. Tennessee does not have a host resume despite the RPI, and then Texas A&M does not have a host resume right now. So it is 4 or 5 for the SEC, looking like, unless somebody gets red hot. And Ole Miss benefits from that. I think when we're talking 4 or 5, the SEC school gets a little more benefit of the doubt versus when it goes 6 to 7, you got to kind of really, really prove it. And what's funny about this a little bit is they've got some strange ones. You know, Oregon State's going to get some RPI help just because they've got name recognition. They've got a good standing in the Pac-12, but their RPI is in the 20s right now. They have been the number 14 national seed. And then the one that is kind of making me head scratch more than anything else are the Baylor Bears in Waco for a regional. They've got Missouri headed there. Number 12 overall national seed with Baylor, and I'm just not seeing a resume that that frankly justifies that. And I get it's guessing, but if Baylor is in that spot, that does potentially hurt Ole Miss if they're kind of on the bubble. Baylor, as of right now, they're 14-6 in the Big 12, which is really, really good. But they're 27 in the RPI. 27. That's not good. So that's a little strange to me. Kind of watch that one because I could see the committee really wanting to put a regional in either Baylor or Morgantown, West Virginia. So if you are if you're going to root against some teams, I think the Bears and the Mountaineers are two that you probably ought to pick as you go the rest of the season. And for the most part, just take care of your own business. That's kind of important too, obviously. So
I've been to Morgantown, but I don't remember anything about their baseball facility.
Well, unless they've done something, it was not a very good baseball program at all. They've gotten much better since they joined the Big 12 a few years ago. I don't know what they've done stadium-wise, but team-wise, they've gotten a good bit better.
But you're right. They're going to want to grow the sport somewhere.
And if you are the number 16 national seed, by the way, you are whomever it is, you're headed to L.A. from the second round because UCLA is going to be the number one national seed. So I feel very confident right now that UCLA is going to be the number one and Vanderbilt's not going to be the number two. I think that's pretty locked in. So they have UCLA 1, Vanderbilt 2, Arkansas 3, State 4, Louisville 5, Georgia 6, East Carolina 7, Stanford 8, Georgia Tech 9, Texas Tech 10, North Carolina 11, Baylor 12, Oklahoma State coming off a big sweep of Oregon State 13, the Beavers 14, the Miami Hurricanes 15, and then Ole Miss 16. So there's that. I don't know.
Just win some games. I know we're going to talk some NFL in a moment. Yeah. Because I ordered a Bears thing for Carson at one time, I now get tons of – every time the Bears come out with any kind of new T-shirt or something, I get the email. This is their centennial season, the 100 thing. They have some really – some of the stuff that they've done for the branding of that is really cool. It really looks good. I'm resisting the urge.
You're not going to buy any of it?
No, I don't need to spend money on that kind of thing right now.
On Bears gear of all things?
Yeah, Bears gear. Exactly.
Although you're not really buying a lot of Cubs gear anymore, so
I hadn't bought any Cubs gear in a long time.
Since the World Series?
Might be right.
Okay. There is a story that came out yesterday on Softball America. A lot of Ole Miss sports fans are aware that Ole Miss lost all three games in Athens over the weekend. Two of them in seemingly controversial fashion, and I say that because I know nothing about softball, but people that do tell me that there were lots of illegal pitches that were questionable, a lot of umpire decisions that were questionable as well, and Marin Angus of Softball America, she dug into it. I think she might have even been in Athens over the weekend for the series between number 8 Ole Miss and number 18 Georgia. And essentially what happened was Ole Miss lost two of the games that were very, very close. At least one of them was a walk-off. And their starting pitcher, Brittany Finney, on Friday night for sure, the one that everybody's talking about, she'd only been called for an illegal pitch twice in 17 starts and over 100 innings this season. She was called for 9 illegal pitches on Friday's game. 7 of the calls came on 2-strike counts, and 5 of the calls negated outs recorded. Georgia won the game on a walk-off triple in the bottom of the 7th. Softball America has given the inning, the count, the batter, the call, and the result of the all of these illegal pitches on that. And then says on Saturday, Ole Miss jumped out to a 1-0 lead before the game was suspended. Okay, holding a 5-3 lead in the bottom of the 7th, Finney entered the game in relief of Molly Jacobson to face the top of the Georgia lineup. On a 1-2 count, Finney got Georgia's Sierra Bryan to pop out to second base, but Finney was called for an illegal pitch by Danny Bowman, sending Bryan back to the plate. 2 pitches later, Finney was able to retire Bryan on a flyout with 1 out, and Georgia's best hitter at the plate, she appeared to retire her twice, but each time Finney was called for an illegal pitch by Leah Bowen. The last illegal pitch call happened on a full count, which resulted in a walk. Georgia went on to win 6-5. Softball America reached out to SEC coordinator of softball umpires Christy Cornwell on Sunday about the number of illegal pitches called against Ole Miss. Cornwell said that while the illegal that the illegal pitches were called correctly, but noted that there were only 7 in the first game. Video from the game confirms there were 9. Cornwell did not answer other questions to Softball America at all. Softball America also reached out in writing to Vicky Van Cleek, secretary, rules editor of the NCAA Softball Rules Committee, and as of Tuesday morning, no one had responded to that that inquiry at all. From best I can tell, if you want to do the complete definition and letter of the law, the pitches were illegal. However, they have not been called all season. It would be the equivalent of suddenly really, really cracking down on every time a phantom touch is done at second base on a double play. Every single time. All of a sudden.
Yeah, look, I don't know enough about softball to comment at all. Jay Tate, in all seriousness, we taped a greatest pod in the South yesterday. I'm sure it'll be up sometime today. Jay does watch a lot of softball. I make fun of him about it. But he does watch a lot of it, so he kind of knows the rules. He said the same thing, basically, that technically they're illegal pitches because the back foot comes off the ground and it can't, or something like that. I don't know. But that they haven't really called them all year, and to suddenly call them, that basically they should have communicated, hey, you have a problem here. You need to fix it. You need to work on it. We've got to crack down on it, blah, blah, blah. And maybe that happened. I doubt it. There's no sign that it did.
Who cracks down on a rule 14 weeks into the season? I mean,
freedom fighters, man.
Well, see, I, and then maybe that's what it was. But we're talking about one umpiring crew so far. It's not like last week it was a problem and this week was a problem. I think the Georgia head coach simply intimidated the umpiring crew.
Yeah.
I think this is much more simple.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so it's bad on the umpiring to go, okay, well, this hasn't been called all year, so we're going to call it now.
It's a problem for Ole Miss, too, because now Finney, as the postseason is getting here, it's got to at least be in her head a little bit.
Well, yeah, because you don't know, is every crew going to be on the lookout for this now? And if you are coaching against Ole Miss, look, your goal is to win. And if you're coaching against Ole Miss right now, you're watching it like a hawk, and you're trying to intimidate umpires.
Where it really hurt Ole Miss is while one win would have probably taken care of everything and potentially given Ole Miss the number 2 seed in the SEC tournament, instead, they might even have work to do to play at home. It says that Ole Miss fell from potential SEC champion to the number 5 seed in the SEC tournament. RPI fell from 15 to 17, and Mike Smith thinks Ole Miss needs to win 2 games in the SEC tournament in order to just host a regional. Difficult position for a team that lost only one conference series. They went 12-11 against teams in the top 25 of the RPI, 5-5 against 26-50, and undefeated against teams below 50.
Yeah, they got screwed. They lost 2 out of 3, and they lost 3 out of 3, and they should have won 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
And the third game, who knows how much it was of them just going, ah, screw it.
It's a really bad look.
It's that for sure.
Yeah, you can read the story. It's on the front page of Softball America, which I think is actually part of Baseball America. I think they started a softball site.
She does a really good job, and for her to reach out to all those people is strong reporting. The fact that no one really responded is pretty typical.
It's just typical.
Yeah.
I will never understand it. Why do officials get such just anonymity and never have to explain anything? What is the? I mean, this is across all ports. This is pros to some level, especially college. I mean, what is it about officials that they're untouchable? Why did we get into this in the first place? Like, how did this become just a part of our sport and our society?
Yeah, and I don't mind when it, you know, it's just a missed call. It happens. You're human. There's you know, you miss a call. But when it's something like this that really should require some explanation, you know, why did you call it now? Did you talk to the Ole Miss people about it? Did you go to Mike early in the day and say, hey, those are illegal pitches. You've got to talk to her about it. We've got to call it. How does all that work? Whether you agree with it or not, getting an explanation does at least provide some context. And when you don't get an explanation, it sort of feeds the conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the example we always give is, I think it was Mark Chapman. He made that call. It was in Herman Morris Hodges. made that call in the SEC tournament with Ole Miss and Arkansas, where Ole Miss certainly got screwed in that game. I think you asked for a pool reporter to talk to an umpire, and you would have thought we asked for a sacrifice on an altar somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, my God.
Yeah, no one wanted to like kill anybody. Just ask a question, get a quote. It's
because
reported.
We didn't know what the actual call was. It was, okay, well, did you call it because of this or did you call it because of this? And, I mean, everybody was like, no, we can't ask the officials anything. God, no. What?
I know. And the SEC was just recoiled at the thought of, hey, could we just send one? I know you don't want 12 reporters down there asking questions. Can we just send one? And that reporter, he or she will get the quotes and distribute them to everyone else, and we'll cite a pool reporter and be done with it.
But no.
Oh, no. No. Hey, have you had the cocktail at St. Elmo's? It's fantastic.
Apparently you can buy that cocktail sauce online.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not the same. Got to be there.
What was the thing we got on Twitter? There was cocaine found in shrimp somewhere.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Explains a lot.
It does. Okay. Never mind.
It's hard to stop, like, boiled shrimp or something. You just keep going.
Like the pill and eat stuff?
Yeah. You just keep eating it.
Yeah. You
want an admission here? So
yeah,
I saw on Twitter that the Ole Miss basketball team, they got their NCAA tournament watches, and Kermit Davis threw a crawfish boil for the players and such and staff and such. Appears to be at his house yesterday.
Okay.
Nice of him.
Yeah.
I'm from Louisiana. I got a lot of Louisiana roots. Lots and lots.
You're from northern Louisiana.
Yeah, but it's
still a different country than southern Louisiana.
It is. I don't like crawfish that much.
Why? I don't prefer it because it's a lot of work for not a lot of meat.
It's a lot of work for not much meat.
Compared to shrimp, which I feel like I'm getting my time's worth.
Yeah. And if it's not done right, and sometimes even if it is done right, it's nasty.
Okay.
It doesn't do anything for me.
Well, yeah, you better make sure you purge them correctly.
Yeah, it's just gross. And I know I'm giving up my man card here, and I'm giving up my Louisiana card here. I get it. But now, Kermit did it the right way, because according to the pictures that I saw, they also had shrimp there, which I would just say, give me the shrimp. I'm good.
And the sausage,
yeah.
And the potatoes and the whole deal.
Yeah, I could just... We used to go to a place, I think it's called Cormier's. Me and Chad Matheny and Hunter Lofton, we'd go there after our work. And it was crawfish and shrimp and stuff. And they always would make fun of me because I just didn't want the crawfish. I would just get more shrimp. Hmm. And yeah, I have no idea what
it's
got
me. It's not a hot take. It's fine.
Just kind of gross.
Okay. Well, you won't get the munchies if you check out the CBD oil from GNM, because it's made from hemp, not marijuana. No crazy side effects, but it will help you out. It helps maintain overall health, regulate many conditions such as depression, anxiety, pain, insomnia, and more. You can find out more about that, or just transfer your medications over. You don't have to stay with those big box pharmacies. You can go to GNM where they're going to know you, get you out of there quickly, help you out as much as possible. 662-236-2222 there on South Lamar. You know they got MedSync to make sure you have the medicine when you need it, put you on a schedule every month, and they deliver to your home or workplace whenever you need it. Again, 662-236-2222.
7 South Tailgating is the premier tailgating service provider at Ole Miss. Although they offer your standard tailgating services such as tent, table, and chair setup and breakdown, there's much more. 7 South will set up, break down, and store your own personal gear, or you can rent the gear from them. They offer cooler, ice, beverage service, TV, satellite, generator service, storage bins for supplies and decor, chandeliers, tablecloths, plates, cups, napkins, utensils, rope lighting, box fans, carpeting or hay for ground cover, tent sidewalls, and more. It's hard to believe there'd be more. And for all of the items you plan to bring yourself on game day, they even have staff on site to assist you in unloading upon your arrival. So call or go online today for a detailed quote customized to your specific needs. It's 662-321-1400. 1682 or visit 7southtailgating.com. Podcast also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. You guys know how this works by now. You call John, you ask him for, you give him some parameters, you give him a budget, and then you sit back and you let him give you options that you would not find on your own, you will not find on your own. He's part of Virtuoso, and he'll take care of you, and you do not have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. So give him a call, 901-494-3387. Or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. It's also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, phenomenal deals on leases, great service. They'll take great care of you. Been friends of this podcast and our website for a long time. It's Grenada Nissan. USA.com. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. He's a big part of Savannah Square. It's a new nine-acre development, seven-tenths of a mile from the Oxford downtown square, located east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center. Savannah Square initially consists of 32 standalone detached structures ranging in size from about 1,100 square feet to about 2,400 square feet. The model home is available for your inspection at 215 William Street. So get in touch with Harry for coming up this weekend for baseball, for graduation. You're interested in making Oxford a second home, making it a retirement home, making it your home. SavannahSquareOxford.com. Get in touch with Harry, 662-801-5621. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. They also give you Kasasa. It's the absolute best cash checking account. With Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. They also have a commercial checking account now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. It comes with fully interactive online banking. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Just realized that I gave the East and never gave the West standings earlier. Kentucky 6-18, South Carolina 5-19, Arkansas 17-7, the Rebels and the Bulldogs 15-9, LSU 14-10, A&M 12-11-1. They tied Missouri earlier in the season. Auburn 12-12, and then Alabama 6-18. If it ended today. Let's see, South Carolina would not make the SEC tournament. They would be one of them. And then either Alabama or Kentucky. Let's see if they played each other, just for the heck of it. I don't know why I'm looking, but why not? They did not play each other, so you get to play that game. So, anyway, I don't know. Hopefully Kentucky makes it, Bama doesn't. That'd be fun. No Alabama and Hoover. That's the goal.
I get it.
You get it?
Back when Alabama baseball was good and they'd go to Hoover.
Oh, they were a tough out now.
They took the thing over.
Yeah. Tough out.
I can remember, and I want to say it was an Alabama-Auburn final. Oh, my God. The game started at 3, and you had to get there. You had to leave. I lived in Birmingham. I was with the Post-Herald covering Auburn. I had to leave my house like at 11 o'clock just to try to beat the traffic, and I still didn't beat it. It was crazy. It was a zoo.
So if – I'm looking at it here. If Kentucky – if they end up in a tie for whatever reason and Kentucky beats Vanderbilt one time, it would make the SEC tournament. Off the top of my head, just kind of staring at it. Six games to go, but that's where we're at.
So. You excited about your week in Hoover?
I like Hoover. I have a good time. It's comfortable. The baseball's pretty decent. There's a lot of people. There's some scouts. There's some people I like to see once a year. I like Hoover. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm in the minority. I don't want it to move. I think it makes a lot of sense where it is. I think that it's centrally located to the teams that really, really care about it. Because don't do anything to make it more complicated on Ole Miss, State, Arkansas, and LSU.
Agreed.
Keep it somewhere close to them.
God, State, man, they're going to take a lot of people over there, including all the protectors of the tournament.
Well, I mean, it is their tournament. They own the tournament.
It's the Mississippi State Invitational.
Yes, even when they're not in it.
So, yeah. Yeah.
It's the phenomena of all phenomena.
I didn't notice last year. Is there a tattoo station or anything at the Met?
I think it's down by the ice cream. You know, and that other press box has the ice cream down there.
Yeah.
Where you have to go and you have to get the ice cream. Get the biscuits in the morning.
Got a tattoo station?
I don't have any ink, but.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know,
I've thought about getting like I-20 tattooed on my arm just because, yeah, it's home.
That's the one that's home?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on I-20. I mean, Ruston to Monroe, Monroe to Ruston. We'd go to Shreveport to play, go to Minden. I got concussed in Minden one time. Don't really remember the game, I don't think. Yeah, all over I-20, man. West Monroe, Monroe. We would take field trips when I was a kid. We'd go to this Indian burial, Indian mound thing that was over by Tallulah. My grandmother is from Tallulah. I-20 runs through my veins, man.
I figured you were going to say some weird county road that's just right there.
Yeah, well,
outside,
you know,
Ruston.
County Road 160. It's what's we know county roads because we have parishes.
Ah.
But Highway 165 runs right through there. 165, 167. I can't remember which one it was. I need to figure that out before I tattooed it on my heart.
Did you ever have to learn all the parishes in Louisiana?
No, hell no, God, no, God, no, hell no, no.
I was told that some people in Mississippi had to learn all the counties when they were in school. There's like 82 of those things.
You talk about a waste of brain space. You don't need to know that. There's no need to know that. Now, we learned our capitals.
You're a capital savant.
I'm great at it. Yeah. Even all these years later. Capitals, and I can remember phone numbers.
I'm good with phone numbers. I correlate them to jersey numbers.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
I know phone numbers as like two dudes, like, and they put their jersey numbers together. I don't know. That's how I do it.
Yeah, I get it. But yeah, no, we didn't have to learn like, no, oh, hell no. God, that'd be a nightmare.
I don't even know who I was talking to. I was talking to somebody last week who said not only did they have to learn them, they thought they had to put them on a map.
Are you serious?
I think so.
Oh my God, why?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I'm right here. Somebody told me that.
I mean, I think it's great to teach state pride and stuff, but that's not necessary.
I can do a lot of Mississippi history without going, hey, look, here's a big blank map. Let's label the counties.
Yeah. You got Chickasaw. And you got, no.
How many could you get right now?
In Mississippi?
Yeah.
Oh, not many.
10?
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm for sure under 25.
You'd have like Hines,
if I got lucky, okay. Well, I don't know. I could get most everything across kind of on a line from Arkansas to Alabama in this part of the state, I think.
Yeah, I don't think I could. But, I mean, I could name 20 probably.
Because I could do 5 to 7 around here. I could do 5 to 7 around Amory.
Yeah.
And then
I know Monroe County. You're from Monroe County.
I am, yes.
Yep. And I could do some of the ones in South Mississippi, I think.
Yeah, and then you get some of the ones around Jackson, maybe.
Yeah.
But then past that,
yeah. D'Iberville's down on the coast. Jackson's down on the coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But no, God, if you made me name parishes in Louisiana, I mean, I would know, you know, Ouachita and obviously Lincoln and Caddo and
What county? You mentioned D'Iberville. What county is that in, Mr. McCready?
D'Iberville is a parish, and isn't it a county in Mississippi?
It's a town. It's not a county, is it?
Okay, I don't know.
Am I wrong there? No, it's in Harrison County.
Harrison, you're right.
Yeah.
No. See, I would have missed that one.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't name. I don't know that I could name 10 parishes in Louisiana.
Really? How many are there? Are there a ton?
I have no idea. I can ask Siri if she knows right off the top of her head.
I have a list.
Hey Siri, how many parishes are there in Louisiana? Let's see if she knows this.
She's not even going to answer you.
She's not happy with me. She's
Alexa would have gotten it.
She gave me a list. 64. Acadia, Allen, Ascension, Assumption, Avoyelles. Oh, my God. Thank God I didn't have to do this. Calcasieu, no idea.
Yeah, 82 counties in Mississippi.
82 counties.
Yeah.
I mean, you could save some taxpayer dollars by consolidating some of that. Just keeping it real. You don't need 82 school boards.
You got a lot more than that. You got all the city school ones.
Oh, that's true.
Monroe County has 3 school boards.
That's not necessary.
Amory, Aberdeen, and Monroe County.
No, not necessary. You could settle
that. Paying like 3 superintendents.
Yeah, as people.
Oh, it's a hot button for me. I'm not getting started.
Yeah, you could really change the game with some of that.
Yeah, I get driven insane by that. So. We promised people some NFL. What they did was they did a percentage chance to make the playoffs. They projected wins for every team after the draft using the FPI, their Football Power Index. Give them credit for creativity there. The Kansas City Chiefs at number one, 10.3 on projected wins and an 80.3% chance of making the NFL playoffs.
Hard to argue with that.
Hard to argue with that. Number two, the New Orleans Saints. I'm a little surprised at 10-1 on projected wins. 76.9%. They said that Drew Brees will have better pass catchers this year, and that was the weakness last year. They're giving the Saints a good chance to be a power in the NFC this season.
All right, let me ask you a question that Carson asked me. I picked Carson up. So this morning I went and worked out. I got Carson about 7:15. I took him to school. It took about 15 minutes to get him to school and to the front of the line where I could drop him off. And in those 15 minutes, he quizzes me on sports. He greeted me with, we talked about Chris Bryant's walk-off home run yesterday. Then we talked some NBA playoffs. And then we get into the NFL. And his question today out of the blue was, do you think Drew Brees is going to fall off this year because he's gotten a year older? Normally, I would have been like, come on, Carson, it's Drew Brees. But he is like 40 now, and it is a valid question. How concerned are you that Father Time takes just a little off of Drew Brees?
It is completely affecting my investment because I think that he was falling off into last season. I think there is a very clear line of regression last season, and I think that regression is probably very, very real. No, it's why if I was buying or selling the New Orleans Saints, even just for the 2019 season, I would sell.
I swear to you, if I didn't think he'd freeze up, I could do a beer garden with Carson, and just we could talk about everything. He knows so much more about sports than I do because he reads all about it. Out of the blue, Dad, what do you think about? What do you think about Drew Brees? You think he's going to fall off some this year because he's 40?
Corolla puts his kid on some.
Really?
Yeah.
He'd freeze up. He wouldn't talk. He'd.
You don't
he'd
think
put,
so?
Nah. Put
Even
a mic.
Though there's nobody in the room, it's just y'all talking into a mic.
Yeah, I don't think he'd do it. But it's really funny. It's one of those things. I'm going to do this. I swear I'm not going to get choked up. I'm not doing that. He's 12. I've got plenty of time left. It's one of those things, if you ask me what will I miss when he's driving and stuff, it'll just be our conversations where he gets in the car and he starts talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. And he knows so much about the Bucks. Like, I'm like, I don't know who that dude is. I'm just going to play along for a minute. And then all the what ifs from Carson. What if Mike Trout didn't sign with the Angels? Where do you think he would have gone? What difference do you think he would have made? What about this guy? And then when he'll ask me about, he'll read about some player from the 70s or 80s, and he'll say, did you see him play? And I'm like, yeah, I saw him play. And he's like, wow, really? And he gets me to tell him, and I will miss that stuff, like, immensely. Immensely. That's the difference when people say, like, the difference between your kids, look, I don't love Carson more than the girls at all. There's no way that anybody who has kids knows this. The girls are awesome, and our conversations are great. but we don't have those kinds of conversations. Carson gets in and he's genuinely interested in what is so-and-so like. Like, he got in the other day and he asked about DK Metcalf. He goes, I bet you've met him some. And I said, yeah, I've met DK Metcalf a bunch. And I'm like, you know, I saw him play at Oxford and at Ole Miss and stuff. And he's like, is he really that big? I'm like, well, yeah, he's really that big. Well, how do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's gotten too big? And I'm like, I don't know. That's what some people say. We're having this conversation about this stuff. And I will miss those conversations so much when he's no longer interested in talking to me because he's interested in talking to other people.
Yeah, I get it. L.A. Rams, number three, 76.4%, 10.1 projected wins. The New England Patriots, 10.5 projected wins, 85% chance of making the playoffs because they always make the playoffs in the AFC East. Yep. I mean, water is wet. And then number five, I thought this was a little interesting, the Indianapolis Colts, 9.2 projected wins, only 57.9% to make the playoffs, but they ESPN likes them.
You know, they were really good the second half. We talked about this a lot. Andrew Luck looked like he had shaken all the rust off. They did a lot of things well. They went to the playoffs. I know they got popped in the playoffs, I think, by the Chiefs, but they're good. If you told me that the Colts make a move, sure, I'd buy it.
Chargers at 8.8 wins at number six. Bears at 9.1 wins at number seven. Texans, 8.5 wins at eight.
I think the Bears are going to be good. Their schedule is going to be so much harder.
That's the thing with the Saints is it is a brutal schedule. Just brutal.
It's what happens when you win. I mean, that's one of the things the NFL does. I'll give them credit. It's what creates the parity that makes that league entertaining. Yeah. Is if you win, it's harder to win again the next year.
Falcons are at number nine. However, they have only a 41% chance of making the playoffs. The Eagles are at number 10. Frankly, should be higher because they have a 66% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, but here's the deal with the Eagles, and Carson did this with me the other day. I didn't think about it. What will the Eagles do when Carson Wentz gets hurt when they don't have Nick Foles to fall back on?
So passive-aggressive there, isn't it?
I was like, well, I don't know. And I don't know is not a satisfactory answer for him. He wants to – well, who's their backup quarterback? I don't know. You got a phone. Look it up. I don't know. But it is a good point when you think about it because they've been bailed out 2 years in a row by Nick Foles coming in and going, I got it. All good. He's gone now.
Yeah. Won a playoff game last year.
Yeah, and won a bunch of playoff games the year before that.
He did, yes. The Minnesota Vikings at number 11, 44.8%, 8.5 wins. The Green Bay Packers at 12, 46%, 8.6 wins.
Here's my hot take. Packers really fall off.
Really fall off. Okay.
Really fall off.
Titans at number 13, 8 wins, 35%.
I'm going to get the package this year. This is nothing against A.J. Brown, who's one of my favorite people I've ever covered. I like A.J. a lot, and so I will be.
No, I feel you here. I know where you're going.
I feel like I'm more interested in the Titans than I normally would be, but I don't want to be stuck with them week after week.
I don't know what it is about them because they're always decent. They're fine. They're the most milquetoast NFL team, though, to have to watch. They are so boring.
They are the Utah Jazz of the NFL. They're just in the middle. They're never great. They're never horrible.
They're not just dynamic. They're not fun.
No, they're kind of boring, and I get stuck watching them, and I get like, ugh. Like, I want, you know, I'll be like, okay, I want to watch an NFL game. I need to work on 10 thoughts. I need something to distract me a little.
You turn it on, and it's Bengals Titans.
And that's all I've got for 3 hours, and I get despondent. So I think I'm going to bite the financial bullet this year and get the package so I can watch the Bears or I can watch whoever. And because, like, in all seriousness, when the Seahawks play, I will be curious to see how DK does. And so I'll turn on the Seahawks.
Yeah. Seahawks at 14, speaking of, 8.4 wins, 41%.
They're fascinating.
The problem is they have to get the wild card because the Rams are going to win the division.
Yes. But they're good enough to get the wild card.
Yeah, but you got to get a wild card, and then you got to win on the road, and you can't have your loud fans help you out. So
yeah, did you hear about their fans? Their fans are loud. Their
very
fans,
loud.
Yes, very loud fans.
Cleveland at 15, 8.5 wins, 8.8 wins, 51%, led by one Mr. Mayfield.
Oh, I know they're the sexy pick. Everyone's kind of cheering for them. Everyone loves Baker Mayfield. Everyone loves the idea of Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. back together again. Everybody loves Freddie Kitchens, who's a very colorful character as their head coach. I got to tell you, that sort of...
Is it style more than substance? Because even on ESPN here, it says where the team improved this offseason was league image. The Browns have gone from longtime league laughingstock to the NFL's most trendiest team. Our trendiest team, not most. Cleveland rode the momentum from a turnaround 2018 season and became one of the most aggressive teams in adding high-profile talent. The Browns upgraded with playmakers like Odell Beckham Jr., Kareem Hunt, Oliver Vernon, defensive tackle Sheldon Richardson, owners of the NFL's longest playoff drought, 16 seasons. The Browns are now a popular pick to win their first AFC North title.
Yeah, and the people that are picking them to really make noise in the playoffs – They're the people that I think have sort of the crap take of the day. And yeah, I've got to read an ad here, but I was waiting for someone to they're not ready to make that jump, I don't think. And if I'm wrong, I'll have the crap take of the day. It's brought to you by Scooper's Pet Waste Removal LLC. Everyone loves their pets. No one loves stepping in their pet's stuff. So, and you certainly don't want to track it into your house. Scoopers will go into your backyard, your apartment complex, your condominium, pick up what no one really wants to pick up, and they'll do it for $10 a cleaning. They'll pick up your yard. They'll do it on your schedule, whether that's weekly, biweekly, or a one-time service. No contracts required. You can cancel at any time. And if you have multiple dogs, it's just $2 for each dog. So if you own a home, a condo, or an apartment complex in Oxford, and you'd like to deal with a lot less crap, call Scoopers at 662-506-2754, or simply send them an email at scoopers.oxfordpetwaste@gmail.com to get your cleanings scheduled today. Scoopers Pet Waste Removal. They're number one in your pet's number two business.
Speaking of the Browns division, the Steelers and the Ravens come in at 16 and 17.
I thought you could say, speaking of the Browns.
Oh, no.
All right, say it again. You lost me as soon as
Steelers
you said
and Ravens, 16 and 17, speaking of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it feels like the end is near for Pittsburgh.
Okay, but see, here's the point, though. Okay, if the end's near from Pittsburgh, then the Browns are winning the division because I want nothing to do with Lamar Jackson over 16 games.
No.
So somebody's got to win it.
Someone's got to win it. Cincinnati's still in it.
They are.
I mean,
said them yet, if you noticed.
They don't win playoff games. I get it. But they are
They're typically good in the regular season.
Yeah, they're serviceable in the regular season.
Jacksonville at 18, Dallas Cowboys at 19.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dak and the Cowboys at 19?
19.
Gosh, don't – hey, let me – word to the wise, because I want to help you. Don't say that out loud in the press box this weekend.
Ooh. That would be very offensive.
Very offensive.
Yeah, only giving them a 44% chance of making the playoffs.
Ooh, that's just not understanding his spirit.
Spirit.
His gumption.
Carolina Panthers at 20.
That feels a little low to me.
Does it?
A little.
Part of it from a playoff chance is just they're in it with the Saints and the Falcons.
Yeah, and I the Bucs, frankly, could end up being better than the Panthers. I just don't know what to expect from Cam at this point.
Yeah.
And that's not a rip on Cam. I just don't know what to expect from him anymore. He's no longer, in my eyes, reliable.
49ers at 21, Broncos at 22, nah.
Yeah.
Nothing there. Oakland Raiders at 23, nah.
Yeah.
Lions at 24.
They're really falling.
Yeah. Buccaneers, you just spoke of, 25, projected at 6.4 wins and a 10% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah.
They did have Devin White, who I really like.
I do, too. He's going to be a really good player. You're buying or selling Jameis Winston at this point?
I'm selling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm selling. New York Jets 26, Buffalo Bills 27. Whatever. I do see a little opportunity for the Jets for whatever reason, though. If you told me they're a little better, I'll buy that. Jets might be okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Redskins at 28. Bengals at 29, you just spoke of. That's pretty far down there.
It's way down.
6 wins, 7.8% chance of making the playoffs.
You haven't mentioned the Giants yet.
I have not. They are at 30. 6.3, yeah. 10.2. And then rounding it up, 31, the Arizona Cardinals. They're a bad football team.
They are.
This one has a chance to be better. I don't buy this. I think they're better. 32, they're certainly not the worst team in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they're not the worst team in the league.
5.6 wins, 5% chance of the playoffs. They got a shot. They're okay.
Yeah.
I think they're mediocre. 7-9 wins.
Well, and if that's the case, then they made a mistake. Because you don't want to be mediocre.
Yeah. No, I get it, but just my hunch. So
you buy or sell Tua as tank for Tua. Do you've seen him play? Do you buy it or sell it?
I'm selling, but I don't really buy anybody else yet either. I don't want anything to do with Justin Herbert.
No.
So it's kind of what do? Because you know quarterbacks are going to go high no matter what.
Sure, because if you don't have one, you've got no chance.
Yeah. So I'm selling, but I'm willing to wait it out a little bit. I'll go ahead and sell all of it on Herbert. You can have it if you want it.
So tomorrow we've got Jeffrey Wright and...
We have 3 guests over the next 2 days. How we're running them, I'm not 100% sure, other than Jeffrey will run tomorrow. We are also speaking to David DeLucci and Matt Wyatt.
They'll join us on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law. They specialize in personal injury law and real estate law. There's a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. If you think you have a legal issue, if you know you have a legal issue but you're not sure what to do with it, and you just want to speak to someone, take advantage of being a podcast listener. Get in touch with John Calvin Patterson and or Wes Earhart. They're Ole Miss guys. They're local guys. And when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been in a car wreck or you just have a legal issue you'd like to discuss, give them a call, 662-526-1992. Their website is pelaws.com, and your initial consultation is free.
So we will have more on the weather and on baseball and more as the week progresses. Appreciate everybody listening. Check rebelgrove.com in the meantime, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.